Hi, I'm Pastor Jeremy, and welcome to the preaching ministry of Nest Baptist, where we seek to equip people to love God and love others. So whether you are a longtime follower of Jesus, or you're exploring what faith in Him might look like, we're glad you're here. It is our prayer that through our sermons, you might better understand who God is, what He has done for you, and what that means for your life. May all of this lead to the worship of God and be for His glory.
Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him.
Good morning, Ness. Okay. As Ken just read, we are going to study in Romans 8 this morning. So let's start. Our topic is Abba, Father. So, and I'm going to show you something before we start our passage this morning. I cannot see that. Okay. So this is like some statistics about adoption in Canada. So in Canada, we have right now, not exactly right now, because these statistics, they are from 2016, last census. So in 2016 in Canada, there were almost like 6 million of kids. You can see like the arrow, the red arrow in the bottom. At that time, there were almost 30,000 kids waiting for adoption in foster care. So that's our numbers from 2016. Probably today, this number is a little bit higher. So we know that this number is around 30,000 kids in Canada waiting for adoption. Here, just a few numbers for you have some ideas about adoption in Canada as well. Talking about like domestic adoption in Canada, it's around only 2,000 kids a year. This is old data. From 2022, there's no recent data on that, unfortunately. And talking about international adoptions in Canada, we have, like, the number has been decreasing over the years because of restrictions and because of the cost of adoption outside of Canada. But these are the numbers. In Canada, there are around 3,000 kids being adopted every year. According to UNICEF, there were over 1.153 million orphans in our world in 2018. So there's a lot of orphans in our world. Before our walkthrough in Romans chapter 8, let's start at the beginning. Let's build something here to get a deep understanding of what adoption really means in the New Testament. Ephesians 1:3-6 says, in love, He predestinated us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. I read this passage first to make sure you understand that adoption is rooted in God's eternal plan and inexhaustible love for us. His desire to bring sinners into His family through the work of His Son precedes even the work of creation. So Ephesians 1:3 says, in love He predestinated us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Let's see now our main idea. All who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God and must enjoy the relationship with the Father. This is the main idea we can get from Romans 8, from 12 to 17. All who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God and must enjoy their relationship with the Father. You have to leave this place today with this in mind. All who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God. Let me open a bracket here. What do I mean by saying led by the Holy Spirit? So in the same chapter, Romans 8, if you take a look at the verse 9 with me, Paul says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." Now, let's compare the above passage, Romans 8, 9, with 1 Timothy 3, 4, where Paul is talking about the qualifications for being an elder. Paul says, "He must manage his own household well, with the dignity keeping his children submissive." You can see I put both Romans 8, 9, and I put 1 Timothy together beside. So you can see and compare that in Romans 8, the word Paul uses here, it's oikos. This word means house. That's why when you take a look on 1 Timothy 3, 4, the passage says, he must manage, talking about the elder must manage his own household. So he's talking about a place, a house. And if you take a look on Romans 8, 9, when Paul says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." This word, dwells, is the same word that Paul used in 1 Timothy 3, 4. Oikos. What that means? That means that our body, your body, is the house of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear this in the Bible. Your body is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, Jeremy read this passage this morning. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" So it's clear that the Holy Spirit dwells in our body. Now the question is, why this information is important to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17? Let's take a look in our main idea again. It says, all who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God and must enjoy their relationship with the Father. So, right now, we are going to see two marks of those. Let me pass here. We are going to see two marks of those who are children of God. The conclusion is, you are a child of God only if you are led by the Spirit. However, you are led by the Spirit only if He, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He must dwell in your body. You are unable to see those marks in your life that we are going to talk about if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in your body. So if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in your body, you cannot see those marks we are going to see right now. If you want to have the assurance that you are a genuine child of God, adopted to be part of His family, take a look at these marks with me right now. Be prepared to scan your life to see if the Holy Spirit has been leading you or not. The first mark of those who are child of God, children of God, is fight against sin, from 12 to 14. Verse 12 says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live accordingly to the flesh." In the previous verse of chapter 8, Paul was contrasting the effects of our mindset on the flesh versus the spirit. He moves now from God and his blessings upon believers from the previous verses to a conclusion now on how we should respond through our actions to those blessings. He calls attention by saying, "Therefore," or "then," if you take a look, verse 12, he says, "Therefore," or in some versions, "so then." That's why we know he's going to complete his train of thought. He starts calling the recipients brothers and sisters, assuming that they already have the Spirit, the Romans. Paul says that we are debtors, not to the flesh, which means we don't have any debt with sin. Rather, we are debtors. Some versions will say, have an obligation to the Holy Spirit. Why are we debtors to the Holy Spirit? Because of the benefits and blessings we have received, are receiving, and are going to receive from the Holy Spirit. That's why we have an obligation to the Holy Spirit. As a result of this obligation, we must live accordingly to the Spirit and not according to the flesh anymore. Not living according to the flesh or after the flesh, some versions, means no longer living by carnal desires. Our obligation now is to live under the power of sin. It's not to live under the power of sin. Sin should not have power over us anymore. For we are children of God, led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to paraphrase the verse 12, just for you to understand clearly. It's like Paul saying, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. But your obligation is to the Holy Spirit, and not your sinful nature anymore. Anger, wrath, malice, gossip, obscene talk, lying, cheating, pornography. If you are a child of God, these sins must have no power in your life. Living by the Spirit, you are able to make war against sin and against many other sins, not only these ones. So Paul continues by saying, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, what do? You put to death the deeds of the body. You will live." Look, Paul says, if you live by the Spirit, not by you, not by yourself, but by the Spirit. Here, Paul clarifies the previous verse and shows the reason why we should not live according to the flesh. Because if we live according to the flesh, we are gonna die. The contrast here is that if you live by the flesh, then you are going to death. But if you live by the Spirit, you are going to live. always thinking that if you live under the control of sin, you are gonna die spiritually, not exactly physically, since everyone else dies. In the present, you are gonna die by the death of guilt, and in the future, by the death of eternal condemnation. However, if you live under the control of the Spirit, you will live under the grace and in the present and in the glory of the future. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life consists of a life full of love, joy, peace. These are a few examples. There are, if you go to internet and you put, how can I have an abundant life? You will see so many lists about that. And there are so many items like, you have to wake up early, like 5 in the morning. I hate to wake up 5. I like to wake up 8, 9. Having a great schedule. So if you have a great schedule, so you are living abundantly. Being a vegetarian. If you are a vegetarian, if you don't like meat, so you are living abundantly. Having a few, but through friends. This is the things you can learn sometimes from the internet. But my advice for you, run away from these lists. You can establish these things for your life without any problem. But they don't mean living an abundant life in the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches that when we set up our minds to the battle against sin and we allow God to freely reign in our lives, when we live in such a way, we are doing more than just following God. We are simultaneously killing the works of the flesh day by day. Instead of living in the behaviors that lead to death, we put those deeds to death so we can have life. Only those who are children of God, led by the Spirit, are able to live in this way. But let me remind you that you and me, we still have sinful flesh, and it will not be happy. And this is why life is an ongoing battle. There's no end here in this world. Let's read verse 14 now. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This sentence is so powerful. I've been led by the Spirit. I'm a child of God. It's that simple. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If I've been led by the Spirit, so you are a child of God. That's a great assurance of salvation. Between the end of verse 13 and beginning of 14, note the word for. There's a word for there. It's a connector and introduces the reason why they will leave, implying at the same time that such mortification in our body of the flesh was the result of the Spirit influence over us. This is a wonderful conclusion from Paul. The people who are putting to death the disgraceful deeds of the body are only able to do so because they, being sons of God, are able to constantly led by the Holy Spirit. So if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are able to overcome these sins. You are able to put your sinful nature to death. Here, led by Spirit simply means all those who live under the control of the Spirit and in the empowerment of the Spirit. Only sons of God are led by the Spirit, and for that reason, they fight against sin. Why should I fight against sin? Because this shows I'm a child of God. The evidence of the work of the Spirit in your life is that you hate your sin and you make war on it. When I was a kid, I was bullied a lot at school, like so many kids. At that time. Today, maybe it's a bit different. I don't know. First, because I covered my eyes for a while, I have just 10% of my vision in my right eye, but I can see perfectly, like using both eyes. But if I close this eye, I cannot like see almost anything, just 10%. So when I was a kid, I have something covering like my eye, and the kids start to say, "Oh, look at the pirate." Oh my goodness. Today, it's funny, I know, but at that time, oh, it was so bad. And after, I was forced by my mom to wear pink, and pink, it was not like cool at that time. I know that today maybe it's cool for some people, but at that time, it wasn't cool. Because I went to school wearing some pink clothes, the kids start to say, "Oh, look at the little girl." So that was the kind of problem I had when I was a kid. Because of that, I got angry so many times, and I fought a lot at school and in my neighborhood as well. When I was a teenager, I lost every fight and always came out with a black eye. It was terrible. So, inspired by my idols, like, probably you know some of them, Bruce Lee. Do you know Bruce Lee? Yeah. I was inspired by Bruce Lee. Sorry if you are like 10 or 18 and you don't know who Bruce Lee is. Mike Tyson. Do you remember the boxer Mike Tyson? This is a hard name. Jean-Claude Van Damme, yeah. Oh, that's the guy. And Sylvester Stallone. And some games as well, like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. And at that time, I made a decision. I want to be like them, hitting everyone's faces and winning every fight. Then I start to train Muay Thai, I think. And I took 3 years of training. I was good at it. When I was 17, I was prepared to get into a fight with everyone around me. And I remember getting the subway or the bus in Brazil and looking at people's face thinking, "Oh, would be today that I would spank someone?" Just sitting and looking at people, staring some people. "Oh, he's a weak guy, I can spank this morning." I was clearly under the control of flesh. However, at the age of 18, I met my lovely Erica, my wife. She shared the gospel with me. God called me and changed my heart. Then I realized I must live under the control of the Spirit. And let me confess something to you all. I still want to fight like my idols. But I fight differently now. I fight against sin. Since I was born in Christ many years ago. Come with me. Now let's move to the second point and last point. Okay. Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Can you see there? Me, Jairo? It's my, it's a real picture of my passport. I cover like some important information. But can you see what information is missing? I don't know if you guys can really see, but can you see what is the missing information? Not the blue ones, right? Yeah, exactly. You were right. There's only my mom's name. There's no my father's name. Why is that? Because I don't have a father. Actually, I have. I just don't know who is. And I even don't know if my mom knows who he is. Today is Father's Day. Do you have someone to call daddy today? Today can be a very happy day for so many sons and daughters. But for those who have lost their fathers, those who have no fathers, or even those who have had a bad fathers or absent fathers, this can be a very tough day. But don't get desperate. There's a powerful message for you in the book of Romans right now. Paul makes a contrast here again between the spirit of slavery and the spirit of adoption, saying that those who are slaves of the sin, they are in the spirit of slavery. And those who are child of God, they live by the spirit of adoption. There's two spirits here, adoption and sin and slavery. Instead of living oppressed by sin, you have received the Holy Spirit who transforms us from slaves to children. So everyone here who have the Holy Spirit, sometime in your life, God put you from slave to children. When Paul says spirit of adoption as sons, those who are led by the Spirit have the Spirit within them, confirming our adoption, our adopted status as sons. When Paul talks about adoption, we don't know if he has like some cultural background on that in mind. At that time, adoption among Hebrews almost did not exist. So the people of God, they did not adopt so many people. Adoption in Greek Roman culture was a little common. Even Julius Caesar adopted a son called Octavian. Later became Emperor Augustus, his adopted son. But adoption at that time was done for egocentric reasons. Usually, only males were adopted, and the reason for adoption was the perpetuation of the property ownership and political and social privileges in the line of descendants. But God's adoption is a bit different. His adoption is due to love and entails much more than being a son or a daughter. We also become heirs with Christ, his only son. Paul ends the verse 15 by saying that only those who were filled with the Holy Spirit after realizing that they were made sons by the sweetest adoption, can say, Abba, Father. The Spirit led us in a very emotional response.
Just give me a second. Yeah.
The Spirit led us in a very emotional response to all of this, to cry, Abba, Father. It's powerful that we are able to go before God and we can have an undeserved intimacy now with the Father, calling him Abba. The word Abba, used by Paul, is an Aramaic word and means only Father. This word was originally used by small kids, meaning only daddy. Later on, its use became far more general. In Mark 14:36, Jesus used the same word when he was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why does Paul use this word here in front of Father? If the word Abba means Father, why use both words? Because the word shows tenderness, love, intimacy from the heart, from a heart desperate to cry, Abba, Father. It shows an intimate spiritual relationship between us and our Abba. The words cry and Abba together here points to the deepest personal and authentic experience of God's fatherly love. Alone in your room, do you find yourself regularly crying, Daddy? Daddy? Do you cry your daddy in your room alone? Do you say daily, Daddy, I need you, from the deepest of your soul? Only Christians experience that. No one else can experience something like that. Just you and me. Just those who are led by Spirit. This is what is accomplished. As the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we have a real intimacy with the Father. By nature, you and I are only sons of God. You and I are not only sons of God. The only way we can enter the family of God is to be adopted. Knowing that we have been adopted must lead us to cry, Father. Adoption is a story of love in the Bible, where God pours out His love for those who belong to Him. Imagine, you are a father and you have a 30-year-old son who left home, left faith, left everything, like a prodigal son. You heard he's dying of cancer, he's in hospital. And you haven't seen him for 12 years. Then you are there at the hospital. And you go to see him. And you walk into the hospital room. And you open the door. And you look at your son's face. And he says, Daddy. You are here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He pushes you to say, Daddy. Like that son dying of cancer in the hospital. The Holy Spirit must do this in your life. We are going to finish in verse 16. Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Note that the first word, Spirit, is written in capital letter, but not the second one. That means that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, testifies, giving assurance to our soul that we belong permanently to God. If you have been led by the Spirit, I want to see you walking in confidence, knowing that you are able to call your daddy as much as you can. We probably have two groups listening to this message this morning, either here at the church or online. The first group are those who are being led by the Spirit. I want to help you to have assurance in your salvation through Romans 8, 12, 17. A solid message comes from Romans chapter 8, showing that if you are making war against sin and you have a real intimacy with the Father, then you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you are a genuine child of God. The second group are those who have no idea what I'm talking about. They are living their lives by the flesh, which is leading them to death. They have no idea what it means to be led by the Spirit, and they don't even know who the Father is. Look, there's a time in life when everyone was an orphan child, like the ones I spoke about at the beginning of the message. 153 million orphan kids in our world. But you were one of them. We were all born into this world as an orphan child, children, and in need of a father. Today's Father's Day. If you feel like an orphan this morning, don't go home without a father to celebrate this day. 20 years ago, as I said, I had no father, but one night I felt the weight of my sin and living in the flesh. Then the Holy Spirit came to dwell in me, and that night I said, "Papai." That's the word in Portuguese for daddy. 20 years ago, I said, "Papai," one night. Since that day, I'm not alone anymore. Every year on Father's Day, I have someone to call daddy. How about you? Just let me finish showing something. All who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God and must enjoy their relationship with the Father. There are two marks of those who are children of God, who are adopted by God. Fight against sin, intimacy with our Father. And right now, can you see what changed in my passport? I have a Father, God, Abba, the Father. Let's pray. Daddy, how majestic you are. We were lost, but you found us. We were blind, but now we can see you. We were going to death, living by the flesh, but you gave us your Spirit of adoption to make us genuine sons. Now we are able to make war against sin, and we are able to have intimacy with you. We want to be led by the Spirit. Give us the strength and faith in you to overcome the obstacles and call you regularly as our Daddy. For those who are still blind, open their hearts so they can also see you and call you Daddy. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.